Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Back. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Wong.
Oh, your Seattle Mariners take another win from the Oakland A's, or 4-1 this time over Oakland. And what did we say? We weren't the only ones, but what did everyone say heading into this series, but also this game? It's that starting pitching would be your key to a win, your key to getting into the postseason if you were lucky enough to get that chance. And they still have it because they're 2 games back, 10 left to play, now ahead of the Oakland A's. And again, 2 games back of that second wild card spot. That second wild card spot, by the way, currently held by the Yankees, I think. So a little bit of shifting around there with the Yankees popping up into that spot. And in Toronto, now in the first game out, Seattle just behind Toronto.
Stacy, I don't even want to say it right now because the Mariners would have to finish on one heck of a hot streak.
Say it.
Most likely needing to finish 9-1, 8-2.
Don't be a coward. Say it.
But I'm thinking about it, and I might be getting my hopes up. All right? The Mariners, they've got a shot at this thing.
Jake.
They've got a shot at this thing. They finished with 2 teams that they have matched up with extremely well this season up to this point. And again, I don't want to say it. I don't think I said it. I don't want to say it out loud for fear of jinxing it. But I will tell you that I am going to be racked with nerves, with anxiety, with excitement and hope over the next 10 days. So please, anybody out there, please don't bother me during this time. All right. My goodness, this is some fun baseball right now.
Well, speaking of fun baseball, you've also had fun outings, especially from those pitchers. Tyler Anderson in the first game gets through 7. You have Marco Gonzalez with another quality start, gets through 6. And then you have Chris Flexen getting the win. He's 13-6 this year, by the way, and he gets it thanks to a 7 innings pitch, giving up just 3 hits, 1 earned run, walks 2, strikes out 8. Here's one of them, by the way, to end the 6th.
Just 1-2 to Lowry, the pitch. Breaking ball, swung on a miss, struck him out. 7 Ks for Flexen. He goes 1-2-3 in the 6th.
Mariners hang 7 hits and 3 runs on Cole Irvin. You love to see it for that 4-1 win. That's also thanks to a great day from Kyle Seager. He's 3-5 for a run and an RBI. That pits him to 100 on the season.
I mean, it's so fun to see that for Kyle Seager, something that he's been after for 10 years. And to see him do this, cut number 1 last night, gosh, it was really cool.
There's the pitch to Kyle, swung on, fly ball, deep center field. Marte going back to the 1, he tracked to the wall, leaps up, goodbye baseball. Kyle Seager with his 100th RBI of the season on his 35th home run of the year. A career high for Kyle Seager, and it gives the Mariners a 1-0 lead here in the top of the 4th inning.
You add the home run from Ty France. You get the extra run there with the sac fly. Beautiful play for Luis Torrens, getting, you know, being a good teammate there. But, you know, going back to Chris Flexen, Stacy, I mean, get this stat, right? So you mentioned his wins. AL pitchers, the hat tip to Gary Hill Jr. here for this stat. AL pitchers with the most starts, 7-plus innings, allowing only 1 earned run or fewer. Chris Flexen, number 1 in the AL out of starting pitching in AL starting pitchers with 7 of those games, 7 of those starts, followed by Zach Greinke and Garrett Cole and the rest of the guys after that. I mean, are you kidding me? Chris Flexen has been an absolute stud during this time. He is a beast, and I love this guy. Not because Stacy's a friend of the show, obviously, because he came on the show and hung out with us, but because out of a bunch of great stories, like truly, there are a bunch of great stories for the Mariners this season, Chris Flexen is debatably the best surprise for the team this season.
That's exactly right. And you look at like where he's come from, not just kind of flaming out with the Mets, not working out, undergoing surgery, trying to get a second chance in the KBO. He does well there. Signed to a 2-year, $4.7 million deal last December by Seattle. I was looking up the story. So I looked up filtered news stories from December 9th when he was signed and looked at tweets from that day. There were so many people, including Mets fans, that were like, good luck with that guy. Like, that's a horrible pickup. And it's just so fascinating to know the way that we saw this club taking shape in the spring versus where it is now. For instance, an article that was completely fine at the time, said that the only two sure things in the rotation were going to be Marco Gonzalez and Justice Sheffield, and then everything else was a question mark. And you head into the end of the year now, and you're looking at Tyler Anderson and Chris Flexen. Obviously, Marco Gonzalez turned things around with a couple quality outings here of late, so credit to Marco for that. But it is not the rotation that you thought it would be.
No, I mean, we heard nothing but negative things about him as a player.
Yeah.
The talk about him being your fifth starter that you hope that doesn't become a liability for the club. And now you fast forward it to your point, Stacey. Now we're talking a general manager of the Mariners, Jerry Dipoto. He's saying Flexen, he's been their rock.
He has been a rock. I think people, if given the chance to go sort by American League starters with the various stable scores or stability scores, you would be able to cite innings pitched, quality starts, the foundational stuff that you build a 1,600 inning season on. Chris Flexen's delivered all that for us, and he has been incredibly steady. We got a lot more than we were bargaining for when he came back over from the KBO. And, you know, good for Chris. He's, a lot of people don't recognize, he just turned 27 years old. This was his 26-year-old season, and there's still so much career ahead of him, and we hope a lot of it is here in Seattle.
I mean, I do too, because one of the things I hope he stays around Seattle. They've got him locked up for 2 years, but you know he's turned in the most consistent pitcher for the Mariners this season, to the point where I trust him implicitly. So you ask me if we're in a wild card situation and you've got the guy that you want to hit the mound, I'm picking Chris Flexen. Chris Flexen is my guy.
But isn't it fascinating how many times our answer to this has changed?
Yes, it's crazy. But I love the way he battles. I love the way that he gets it done. And I love the fact that he's kind of a psycho out there and he's his harshest critic. For some guys, they throw themselves out of whack and they can't regroup. Like, he enjoys punishing himself. Like, have you seen him when he gives up a run and he's walking
Lydia
back?
Yeah, posted a video of him walking off the field after giving up a walk. And he gave up, I think, just that one walk.
Yes.
And he is probably shouting some expletives.
He is cussing himself out. Yeah. Like, he is giving himself the business, and he's done it all season long. I mean, I just love the way he competes. It's awesome. And, you know, it's just a perfect, it's just fitting to me that I love that a misfit has found a home with a group of misfits and that they're actually turning this group into something that's building something special. And that to me is really fun.
That's exactly right. And to your point, not only are they building something special, but you've got a couple of those key pieces, those key misfits, for lack of a better description, which actually might be the perfect description, locked up for another year. I mean, Flexen signed that 2-year deal, so he's here next year. We've had 1,000,005 conversations about how do you replace those runs from Kyle Seager. And it's a conversation that will continue because no one I know is expecting them to exercise that option or to restructure and bring him back. And you've got to find a way to replace. He's got 100 RBI and, 35 home runs on the season?
Yes.
You have to find a way to replace that, and that will be an ongoing conversation. You don't need to find a way to replace Flexen because he is with you next year, as is Paul Sewald.
Yeah, it's true, and the conversation also being, you could try to bring back Kyle Seager at a smaller price. You don't have to, you know, it's not do or die. You have to exercise the club option, and he can't come back, or he can't come back. That's not the way it works. They could choose not to exercise the club option and then come back to the negotiating table with him and work out something else. But I don't know if Kyle Seager wants to do that personally.
Mm-hmm.
And so this might be something where this is a clean split on both sides and that you're looking for an opportunity to improve your team over the course of the next few years overall. So to your point, it's going to be extremely difficult. And guess what? The Mariners, it's not going to come cheap to replace that type of production and consistent production. And hopefully you're not just replacing that production. You're getting somebody that can get on base more often than what Kyle Seager has been able to do. That's the one flaw in his season. Outside of that, he's been fantastic as a defensive third baseman with the RBIs, with the home runs. He's been a key part of this thing. And he will continue to be a key part of this Mariners run over the next 10 days, over the next 10 games. He's vital to it. So it will be hard to see him go, but the opportunity to get somebody like Marcus Semien, or if you're really shooting for the moon, somebody like Chris Bryan, I mean, those are things that you're looking at and trying to propel your organization forward. It's just tough to talk about that right now when you're witnessing such a historic season for Kyle Seager.
And so why even look ahead too much? Because speaking of Kyle Seager's season, you had this moment to be really, really excited about yesterday.
There's the pitch to Kyle. Swung on, fly ball, deep center field. Marte going back to the one. He tracked to the wall, leaps up. Goodbye, baseball. Kyle Seager with his 100th RBI of the season on his 35th home run of the year. A career high for Kyle Seager, and it gives the Mariners a 1-0 lead here in the top of the fourth inning.
Say what you will about Kyle Seager's batting average or whatever, this team would not be where they are without him, period. He has been a huge part of their offensive production. And Jerry Dipoto looking at not just that, but at where this team is right now. They lost that Red Sox series. It was a heartbreaking end to it with those two games, giving up that many runs late in those games and with the second in extras. Mm-hmm. And you just thought, this is it. This season is done. Instead, Jerry Dipoto this morning with Salk says, you know what? This team, they're not quitting.
It's how they're wired, and it has made this season so enjoyable. One way or the other, I'm going to hate to see it end, whether it's the end of the World Series or 10 more games. But this team is so fun to watch.
So, look, they're still in it. They are still in it. Right now, you're looking at the standings. Boston first wild card at 88-65. The Yankees have the second wild card at 86-67. Toronto's right behind them with 85 wins. Seattle right behind Toronto, 2.5 games back of that second wild card spot with 8 left to play. It's going to be tough. It's going to be really, really tough, especially when you look at who the Yankees have to play, who Toronto has to play, who Boston has to play. And we have a short show today, but in our final segment, when we're helping you guys get ready for the Mariners pregame show, we're going to be looking at what Kikuchi needs to do today, our expectations for him and for this team for just this series. And we'll also be kind of figuring out how these final 10 games can take shape, including telling you guys what's on the slate for some of those teams, Toronto, the Yankees, and Boston, who are in front of Seattle.
Yeah, it's going to be critical. And it's really difficult because it muddies the waters when it comes down to the Yankees and the Blue Jays and the Red Sox all being in the same division, the Yankees and the Blue Jays playing one another. So there's a little bit of carnage that's going to happen in the AL East, and you just hope the right scenario plays itself out while the Mariners continue to win. So all intensive purposes, you can't worry about what's happening in front of you. You have to stay focused on the mission, on the goal that is right now for the Seattle Mariners. And as I've said before, you've got to have a streak. I said this at the start of September. At some point, you've got to have a streak that you can run, you can roll on. And right now, that streak has to happen. It's do or die. Has to happen over these next 10 days. So far, they're off to a pretty good start. They're 4-1 over the last 5 games. They've got to keep it rolling.
Jake and Stacey is presented exclusively by CarPros Kia Tacoma. Guys, I'm tired. I am tired of talking about this loss to the Titans. I need to look ahead. I am forcing us to move ahead to week 3. Look what the Seattle Seahawks need to do against the Vikings. We're going to talk about that at 10:30. Reasons you can't look past the 0-2 Minnesota Vikings, but then some keys to the win for Seattle. Before we get to that, though, it's time for Headline Rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline Rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Jake and Stacey.
Headline number one, the Seahawks Wednesday injury report was relatively clean. The only notable addition was Freddie Swain with a back injury. What's the real headline?
And of course, after I say I'm ready to look ahead to Minnesota, this is my headline. Good news, Seahawks aren't that banged up. Bad news, the Seahawks aren't that banged up and are coming off a loss. This is maybe the healthiest your squad is going to be all season long, and you have escaped, knock on wood, I'm doing it right now, any big major injuries. Not only that, but some of your guys that are banged up are getting healthier. Brian Monet, that didn't end up being a serious injury. He's day-to-day. He could be coming back. Brandon Schell, that didn't end up seemingly being a serious injury. He may not play this week, in which case DeMarco Jones would be starting at right tackle, but he escaped serious injury. Rashad Penny was never placed on IR, so he won't be going this week, but could be back next week. So far, you've managed to escape losing guys for the season. It happens to every team. No team gets through the year completely healthy. What you want to do is take advantage of being at full health when you have it. The Seahawks have a chance to do that this Sunday.
They do, and this to me is an opportunity that you have to capitalize on. The Vikings, they are not in full force. Now, it doesn't mean that they've got injuries galore on their roster, but you don't have Anthony Barr out there. You don't have their other you know, their cornerback groups, the cornerback group is struggling outside of Patrick Peterson. So I think this is an opportunity that you can't miss. You have to get right. You have to get back on track if you're the Seahawks. You can't afford to take a loss and go 1-2, especially with the way that the schedule shapes up and you start to face the Rams, you start to face the 49ers, you get to the Saints. It becomes very difficult over the next, you know, four or five games after this one. So you have to be able to get it done in Minnesota.
Headline rewrites.
All 44 Kraken players have officially reported for their first ever training camp up in Northgate. What is the real headline?
Residents of Washington State doing a 180 in their treatment of Blue Jays fans by happily welcoming a few Canadians into town. It's just, you know what, we collectively hate on Blue Jays fans so much because they're so easy to hate.
Yeah,
and I'm sure that if you're a Blue Jays fan, you're watching from afar and you're seeing us all be like, oh, we love Canada. Welcome, Kraken players. Get on in here.
It's totally different when it's yours.
The minute I see that Toronto jersey, though, no, get out of that
correct
arena.
Exactly. Or you see somebody from the Canucks, no, get out of here. But when they're yours, absolutely. I think that this is a really exciting moment when you talk about the Kraken, you talk about how this season is coming along, and gosh, it's one of those things where it feels surreal. It doesn't feel like the NHL is here, that the season's going to start, but here you go. We got training camp, you had the draft, you had all these things. The excitement is building up, and can't wait to have our first NHL game here in Seattle.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number three. The NFL really went and scheduled Panthers and Texans for Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, they did.
What is the real headline?
Look, there's an NFL Addicts support group meeting this weekend. And let me tell you what, if you're watching this game, that is your sign you need to join us. I am opening the doors to the NFL Addicts support group. There are so many things you can do today. So many things. You can put away your spring and summer clothes. You can clean the house. You can hang out with your kids. You can go outside, breathe in some fresh air. Some fresh fall air. And if you decide instead to watch the Panthers play the Texans, well, my friend, you and I are the same. You and me are the same.
You know, the funny thing is you said this kind of last week, and it was the Giants versus the Washington football team.
It was
a great game. Finished 30-29.
He had some drama on the sideline.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
It was great.
Now that I'm talking, I also do realize that we need some help. So, we will be tuned in to this game tonight
next
and watching.
Next week, Cincinnati and Jacksonville on Thursday Night Football.
That could be great because not only am I looking forward and curious to see Trevor Lawrence, do you know how many gifts are going to come from Urban Meyer on the sideline?
Oh.
Like, the ongoing joke about Urban Meyer hating his job is going to continue, and it's going to be beautiful.
You see the quote from Broncos head coach Vic Fangio after the game on Sunday?
Yes.
Fangio said that Urban Meyer told him, quote, "Every week it's like playing Alabama in the NFL."
No!
Yeah, no, duh!
I wonder what
professionals.
I wonder what was going on in Fangio's mind as he listened to Urban Meyer. Like, I have to imagine
judgment.
It was the
judgment.
Biggest eye roll of all time. Like, are you kidding me, bro?
Does everyone have that, like, friend that you grew up, maybe you grew up with, or you met in college or at your first job or whatever, that just came from a completely different lifestyle than
they're
you
like,
did?
Wow, this
and
is so much
like,
tougher than I thought it was going to be.
They'll say something like, oh, where did you and your family summer? Or whatever. And you'll be like, well, what? That's Urban Meyer. Like, this guy is not familiar with losing. He is not familiar with being part of a losing program or having to fight an uphill battle or not being given five-star recruits. He's like, wait, you mean I don't get all the best players here?
Right.
Like, I know we didn't have that draft pick, but we can have him visit our team, right?
Right. And I also guarantee you that Vic Fangio is also looking at him going, dude, you have Trevor Lawrence. Like,
you got something that every other team would kill to have.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I am in envy of you right now. Are you kidding me?
Have you liked what you've seen from Trevor Lawrence so far?
Yeah. I mean, you talk about promise. I mean, that's ultimately what you want to see. I mean, when you're taking over an organization like the Jags, a lot of it is going to have to be coaching in terms of how they turn that organization around. And so Trevor Lawrence's job is to get experience. Trevor Lawrence's job is to show the flash and the promise of what he can be and grow and learn and mature over the course of this season. And it's going to be a bumpy ride. It's not going to be easy whatsoever. So up to this point, Yeah, I've really liked what I've seen from him. It hasn't been pretty. He's thrown a lot of interceptions, but he's learning on the job. And this is his first time really facing some serious adversity. And I think mentally he's well equipped to handle it. Now it's a matter of how they can grow and progress together. And as long as Urban Meyer doesn't lose his mind during the season, they've got a chance to grow. And I really hope that Urban Meyer doesn't get in his own way and especially stunts the opportunity for growth over the course of the season for Trevor Lawrence, because he just can't get over the fact that he's playing Alabama's every single week, that he can't get over the fact that he's losing every single week.
Meanwhile,
get over yourself, have a vision, have some perspective.
There are 5-2-0 teams in the NFC. They are, well, the three other teams in the NFC West. Gosh, this division is killer. The 49ers, Rams, Cardinals, all 2-0. Also, last year's Super Bowl winners, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 2-0. Want to guess that fifth team?
I have no idea.
Just take a shot at it.
Take a shot?
Take a shot in the dark.
I didn't hear the first two.
Well, you've got the rest of the NFC West and then the Bucs, all 2-0.
Is it the Panthers?
It is the Panthers. The Carolina Panthers.
And they've got a legit shot to go 3-0. They've got a legit shot to go 3-0.
That is exactly
facing the
correct.
Texans. That's wild. Sam Darnold revenge tour. We're witnessing it right now.
That's exactly what this is. All right. Don't look past. Do not look past the 0-2 Minnesota Vikings, but we are going to start to look to the Vikings. We're done. We're wrapping up week two. We're all putting it behind us collectively, and we are looking ahead to week three. What kind of challenge do the Vikings bring? I'm going to tell you what. It's more than just Dalvin Cook, but they also bring a couple opportunities for the Seahawks on both sides of the ball, so we're going to take a look ahead to week three. It's coming your way next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
Jake and Stacey is presented exclusively by CarPros Kia Tacoma. This hour, by the way, brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Don't look past the 0-2 Minnesota Vikings. That was the theme of the huddle yesterday when we were joined by Dave Wyman. And it's going to be the theme of this segment looking forward. Seahawks, they're looking to bounce back, but they're going to do it against an 0-2 Minnesota Vikings team that doesn't really match up talent-wise with its record. They have some struggles, don't get me wrong. In all three phases of the ball, they've struggled with kicking. They've struggled to execute at times on offense, and they've struggled at defense. Wow, sounds familiar. Instead, though, you're going to be facing a team that's tough, and they are playing you at home. Seahawks traveling to US Bank Stadium. So let's start right away with one of their biggest weapons. Much like last week, you're looking at the running back. Pete Carroll said he's got tons of respect for Dalvin Cook.
He's really explosive, totally different style of runner than what we just saw, but, you know, equally as effective for the most part. I mean, nobody's effective as Derek, but his explosiveness on the edge is really apparent, and it carries over in the throwing game, too. They screen him, they dump the ball to him, and he's hard to get down. And we have a lot of respect for him.
Dalvin Cook is coming off back-to-back seasons of over 1,000 rushing yards. He was a Pro Bowler in both of those seasons and had 13 and 16 touchdowns, respectively, in 2019 and 2020. Jake, how do you stop Dalvin Cook? Like, who suddenly is the onus on, or which position group, who is carrying the burden right now of do not let a repeat game this time against Dalvin Cook?
Well, the unique aspect about it and the reason why, you know, Coach Carroll says that he's a unique back is from Derrick Henry, but equally effective, is because you can use him in every aspect of the game. So you can use him as a receiver. You can use him in the screen game. And he's also not just a guy that runs between the tackles really well. He can get on the edge and use his speed. And that's something that with Dalvin Cook, he's unique because he's a guy in the open field that's extremely tough to bring down, not because of his power, but because of his quickness, but because of his elusiveness. And so he's a little bit different that way. But I think that it's still the same formula. You have to have your defensive tackles play big in this game. You have to have them being able to win that 6-inch battle at the line of scrimmage. Your linebackers, I would say, Bobby Wagner, Jordan Brooks, Jamal Adams, they become even more important in this game, because it's not just the running game, it's the passing game as well. It's the screen game. And they have to be on their alignments and assignments to understand and diagnose what's happening and reacting really quickly. And I hate to, you know, bring back KJ Wright's name up, but this is a game that KJ Wright would excel in because he was so good at recognizing the screen, reading and reacting and beating the lineman to the ball, and oftentimes blowing up screens. So that's something that you'll have to keep an eye on. So Jordan Brooks, Bobby Wagner, Jamal Adams, there will be more onus on them, Stacey, to really try to bottle up Dalvin Cook.
We're obviously all going to be watching this injury report closely because some major stars on Minnesota's injury report, that includes Dalvin Cook, who has an ankle injury. He was a did not participate on Wednesday, though, again, I look ahead to like who's practicing Thursday. Are they limited? And then who's practicing Friday? But for right now, he was not a participant in practice. Anthony Barr was limited. Christian Darrisaw, their rookie, was limited. I don't even think he's a starter for them right now. He just returned to practice. Cornerback Patrick Peterson, a starter, was limited. Eric Kendricks, their starting middle linebacker, was limited with a hip injury. Everson Griffin, still with that concussion, a limited participant. And Brashad Breland, their another starting cornerback, limited. So they have a couple starters, particularly on defense, but Dalvin Cook being limited, a non-participant is also big news there. Someone who has been playing and has been honestly playing well. It's not the name I would have guessed. If you were to say week two, who on the Minnesota Vikings is having a great year, I would have said, oh man, maybe it's Justin Jefferson, who had such a stellar rookie season, especially in the second half. Maybe it's Dalvin Cook, who granted has had a pretty solid year so far. Maybe it's Patrick Peterson having a bounce back. Maybe it's Eric Kendricks, who is probably their best defensive player. I don't know why, and maybe it's really unfair. I probably wouldn't have guessed Kirk Cousins, and yet he's had a stellar season. We talked to Courtney Cronin, an ESPN Vikings reporter, who said, look, Kirk Cousins, not the reason this team is 0-2. He's been pretty stellar so far in two games. Not like over the top, but week one completed 73% of his passes for a pair of touchdowns, a 106 passer rating, and week two completed nearly 70%. For a 122 passer rating, 244 yards, and three touchdowns. Pete Carroll, this is what he said about the challenges Kirk Cousins brings.
He looks terrific. He's throwing all of the throws, whether it's the dropback stuff or the action stuff, on the edge. He uses the whole field. He uses all the rhythms. They're good in the quick game. They're good downfield on their play passes. And he's got guys that he can go to that make things happen on the edge, outside. So, he's looked really good, and he's accurate, and his arm is strong, and he's taken off a couple times and made some yards. So this is I see him as good as I've ever seen him. I think he looks that sharp starting the season.
Before I look ahead, Jake, to what the Seahawks offense needs to be able to do in this game, where you want to see improvements from last week, let's spend just one more second talking about how you stop Kirk Cousins. He is one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the league, not really seen as like a top three, top four, top five guy, and yet has been pretty solid for Minnesota, not just last year, particularly this year so far. So what kind of challenge does Seattle's defense have? What do they need to do this Sunday?
Well, the difficult challenge that they have is the fact that you're going up against two really good receivers again, right? So you had A.J. Brown, you had Julio Jones. Those two guys are very unique players, not just with their skill level, but their physical size and their speed and all that. And Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen aren't necessarily just monsters from that perspective in the way that A.J. Brown and Julio Jones are, but they are very good receivers, playmakers, technical route runners, very, very good. And it's going to put even more stress on DJ Reed and Trey Flowers to have to step up in this game. And so they need a better performance out of them. But the unique thing that they have to do is they have to, and why I say it's unique is because last week they tried to make sure that they didn't give up the easy stuff. So they dropped and they were very soft in their coverage, but they gave up the easy checkdowns. And Kirk Cousins, what we know from him is that he will take those checkdowns, and he is not afraid to take those at all. So they have to eliminate the easy outlets for him. And the best thing that you can do with Kirk Cousins is to generate pressure. Kirk Cousins, if you can generate pressure early and often, he will fold. He will not be as sharp. And the way that Kirk Cousins has started this year has been really strong. Part of the reason is because their running game has been really good. Kirk Cousins has been able to throw from a clean pocket for the most part this season. And if the Seahawks can disrupt that consistent and often, I think that they can they can bring Kirk Cousins back down a little bit.
Looking at the offensive side of the ball, they certainly need more production, not just in the run game as a whole. They just need to find a way to get that going in a way that they didn't last week. Jake, how do they get back to looking a little more like they did in week one? I know that we're talking about different defenses. There's different game plans. It's hard week in and week out to be as perfectly efficient as you want, right? On either side of the ball, it is hard to go against, for instance, Derrick Henry, and for people to be like, why didn't you look like you did in week one? And you're like, because I'm going against Derrick Henry. But but if you're looking at the other side of the ball with the offense, I mean, I would certainly love to see more pre-snap motion, more tight end usage. Some of the stuff we saw in week one, I understand why against Tennessee they didn't get to some of it or maybe couldn't, and a lot of it's just not establishing the run. But what needs to happen this week? Can they do that?
Yes, they can, and it's not just establishing the run. That's the thing that I think is – it's easy to say, but what does that mean? One, yes, being able to have positive runs, but the other part of it is sustaining drives, converting third downs. That's how you stay on the field, and being able to be successful on first and second down to put you in those advantageous situations. They've got to be better in that scenario. And so that, to me, is really what I'm going to be focusing on. That's the area that if this Seahawks offense can be better in that area, Stacey, they are virtually impossible to stop. They are so good, and they put defenses on their heels immediately. Your playbook now becomes open with Shane Waldron, and you feel confident. You feel like you're rolling. That's what this offense needs and needs to be able to do consistently. And so far, we didn't see that last week. We saw them struggle a little bit in the third quarter in week one. I want to see them be consistent in third down conversions throughout the game. And if they can be over 50%, that's winning football, and that's what they've got to be.
Bobby Wagner is really, really happy with one Seahawks defender right now. He talked to us about it. Who is it? That's coming up in four down territory when we close out today's short show, because you got some Mariners baseball, a matinee game, Yusei Kikuchi on the mound for Seattle. We're going to be talking about what to expect from him and what this team has in store potentially today. And was this a finale? Is this game four, the series finale against the A's? Or is there one more?
Game
series
four.
Finale against the A's coming up today, your pregame show starting at 11:30. So we'll be previewing that a little bit at 11. Before we get to it, though, we couldn't do it yesterday because we had the huddle. But it is time to head to the station for Hype Train. It's coming your way next.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Driven by Car Pros Kia of Tacoma.
Here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
For the final homestand of the Mariners season, 710 ESPN Seattle is bringing you a chance to score $7.10 Mariners tickets. That's for the game on Monday, September 27th, when the M's host the Oakland A's. Use the promo code 710 to redeem this special offer in the center field bleachers. Again, the promo code is 710-710. More info at 710sports.com/events. Also, don't forget you can subscribe to Jake and Stacy wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to rate and review. You can also watch on the live video stream at 710sports.com/video. It is time to figure out what's trending, what's getting people hyped up in the world of sports. Let's head down to the station for Hype Train. All right, we'll start with this one. It's the biggest controversy, not just out of MLB, but let's say in the world of sports over the last 48 hours.
I thought you were going to say in the world.
In the world.
That's a lot.
Kevin Kiermaier swiped a drop data card from Blue Jays catcher Alejandro Kirk, causing a lot of people to wonder whether it was fair game or unsportsmanlike, and it was cheating. I got into a debate the other day with Katie, my friend Katie, who said that it felt like cheating. And I was like, Katie, everyone in baseball cheats. Everyone cheats. It's fair game. So that's the hype train I'm starting with. I am starting with it. This is in part inspired by John Heyman. His tweet went viral the other day because a lot of people were responding to it, including your girl. John Heyman said, Rays announcer keeps saying once Kirk dropped his scouting report on the field, it's fair game for Kiermaier to take it. What if a $100 bill fell out of Kirk's pocket? Would that be fair game to Kiermaier to take it to? What if it was a family portrait? He gets that too?
Yes.
The audacity. I'm imagining Alejandro Kirk with
just,
sorry, I dropped my family portrait. I always have it on me at all times. So here's the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding. Kevin Kiermaier swiping that card from Kirk is fair game.
Yeah, I think it is fair game. I absolutely do. And if you're reckless with it, then you know what? Then you face the consequences of that. And again, I don't believe that it was malicious. in the moment, things happen fast. Card comes out. Player thought that maybe it was his card, picks it up, realizes that it's not his card, and instead of going back and returning it, kept it there, handed it to the manager, and let the manager take care of it from there. And this was addressed immediately afterwards. So it's not like a huge scandal turned about like we saw in the past where now there's this intricate system that the Tampa Bay Rays have created to be able to know the signs and everything that the Blue Jays are doing. Now, this is all overblown.
Curtis.
It's completely fair game. It is. Kevin Kiermaier is not in the wrong here at all. I mean, yeah, it's not exactly the most upstanding thing to do on the baseball field, but look, Kirk made the mistake of dropping his scouting report card on the ground, and Kevin Kiermaier, being a heads-up player, I guess, saw that and was like, you know what? I'm going to take this little advantage away from my opponent.
Yeah,
I don't see anything wrong with Kevin Kiermaier and what he did. You know, yeah, it wasn't like something that he probably planned to do, but I have zero problem at all with Kevin Kiermaier.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, I think it's one of those things where everyone, I said this the other day, everyone collectively thinks that you wouldn't do this. Everyone wants to be a great, have great sportsmanship. Everyone wants to play things fair because we all inherently value fairness.
Yes.
But as far as in reality, what you would do if your job and everything matters more to you, you're in this hugely competitive business, it's billions of dollars we're talking about for this industry, and you're fighting for a pennant, you're fighting for a spot, and you see a competitive edge that, like, that guy dropped, you didn't swipe it from him. If it was that he went into the dugout and took it,
if this would have been a secret mission that they went out and tried to find one of these cards and that was their intent all along,
yeah.
Then yeah. Also, the fact is that teams, football, baseball, basketball, they're all looking for little things that they can pick up on that can give them an idea of signals or their system or ways that they're doing, because they're looking for ways to anticipate what's coming. You know, I specifically remember, you know, having either one of my backup quarterbacks or me as a backup myself looking at the other sideline trying to look at the signaler and see if I could pick up on their signs. And if you could, man, that was a huge trait that you could have or advantage that you could gain. And it's on the opponent to not give up those state secrets and to have a system that is difficult to figure out. So I think it's fair game. And I think that ultimately you got to do a better job of taking care of your stuff.
Mac and Jack's text line here split on this one from the 425. No real problem with him taking it. I also have zero problem with him getting hit in retaliation. That's also fair game. Someone said, yeah, it's overblown, but way to rationalize bad sportsmanship, guys.
Never leave home without it.
Never leave home without it. Next type train here. All right. The Giants have really been the surprise of MLB this year. Still leading, I believe, the NL West, which is bad news bears for the Padres. But hear me out for this hype train. The M's, they're a bigger surprise this year than the Giants.
Ooh. I don't think I can board this hype train.
My answer is no. It's just I like this hype train.
Yeah, I love the hype train, but the answer is no. I mean, we're talking about the Mariners being on the outside of a wild card hunt, where we're talking about the Giants, who are beating the Dodgers and the Padres for the division lead in the NL West. No, the Giants are without a doubt, by a wide margin, the bigger surprise.
Yeah, the Giants are the biggest surprise in all of baseball. They're a win away from 100 wins.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that after the opening series of the season against the Mariners, where the Mariners took 2 of 3 from the Giants, including that huge comeback on opening day. I think they were down like 7-1 or something, came back and won it. Boy, that was very foretelling of the season that lied ahead.
It really
for the Mariners.
Was. But they're also in a division where everyone was talking about the Dodgers and Padres. Every conversation in the early spring was, who's it going to be, the Dodgers and or Padres? The Giants were not leading this.
Yeah, and the Giants haven't had a winning record since 2016. The Mariners have at least had a winning record in that time span.
Mm-hmm.
And the Giants, the last full season they played in 2019 was 77 wins. Last year, they finished 29-31 in that 60-game schedule. Then they go to basically a 100-win season. They would have to lose out to not reach 100 wins, which is that's
wild.
Not going to happen.
You know what's so crazy is you talk about the Padres. They are 22 games back. 22 games back of the Giants.
That's how good that division is, though.
Also, the Padres have completely collapsed, and they're not even in the hunt for the wild card.
It's unbelievable. They're going to have a favorite for NL MVP, and
they're
also
six
maybe not
games back of the wild card.
I know.
I mean, you got to be kidding me.
Imagine trading Ty France and keeping Eric Hosmer.
Couldn't be me.
Which is what the Padres have chosen to do, and France is easily the more valuable of the two.
Hate to see it.
I was looking at the NL standings. Yeah, you got San Francisco in the West, Milwaukee Central, Atlanta in the East, then the Dodgers. They're not, I mean, they're clinched. They're not giving that up. 97-55. And then the St. Louis Cardinals behind them. God, something happened with St. Louis the other day. What was that? Oh, that was that the clip that you sent us of on a sack fly scoring from second.
Yeah, Harrison Bader scored.
Absolutely wild.
Cardinals have won, what, crazy. 10 in a row, too. They're insane.
All right. Only time for two hype trains today because we got a head to break, but don't worry. We are coming back with your preview for this Mariners game. It's a matinee game, short show today. We're getting you guys ready for the Mariners taking on the A's in that series finale, trying to get the sweep, and guess what? You really need it. Yusei Kikuchi on the mound. We'll also talk about where the other wild card teams and the teams that are in front of Seattle, what their schedule is going to look like. So we're going to kind of plot out these final 10 games here. It's coming your way next.